is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 145 degrees Fahrenheit, a nice medium rare, to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Nick? Can you feel it?
That is working. I can feel it.
And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, how's it going? What's this silly name that you're expecting people to call you? Go ahead and say it out loud.
We're still on this, man. All right. I deserve to be titled the Dear Sweet Yak Emperor for my honorable service.
No. Denied. This warms your dear sweet yak burger to a tasty and toasty 145 degrees Fahrenheit. So, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. So, anyway, I've had an interesting new life experience this week that I'm going to share with everybody. I'm not going to get too graphic or in detail, but I just had my first colonoscopy, and because this is a Freedom Fiends and we're always talking about bungus here, I figured I would share my little story. So essentially, here's how it goes. I got drugged. A complete stranger played with my butt, and I woke up a couple hours later and didn't remember anything, or as a couple of our co-hosts call it, just another Saturday night. No, it was really a strange experience, because I was expecting to wake up and, you know, having at least some pain or discomfort, and when I woke up, it's like, my God, did you guys even do anything? I had absolutely no idea. So, you haven't been through that yet, have you?
No, I have not.
Yet. You haven't had a stranger play with your butt and wake up not remembering anything?
No.
Yeah. Well, the really bad part about it is you have to go through this cleansing process where your insides are cleaned out, meaning your digestive tract and all that other stuff, and they give you this stuff to drink. And I've never drank liquid comet cleanser, but if I did, I suspect it would be kind of like this. Oh my God, it was horrible. That stuff was worse going in than coming out. It didn't really have a taste, so to speak. It was more like the texture of it, and it just made me sick as I drank it. So that was like the worst part of it. So when you factor that part in, I guess it could be kind of like going to Tijuana for a weekend too. But anyway, enough of the bungus stuff. What's going on in your world out there in Oregon? What's going on with the yak and hog world?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. Haven't sold anything in a little while. Haven't had any new additions on the farm. Right now, we're mostly working on goat stuff. Dad and I are getting ready to build a milk processing room. We found a way to get raw milk to customers. There are loopholes you can play around with, and one of the things is called a herd share. So if people are interested in getting raw milk and you have a local dairy farm who's very small, or they have dairy animals or something, talk to them about herd shares if they're not selling raw milk already, so that they can start getting some product out on the market. It may not be legal in all states, but definitely encourage them to look into it. So that's kind of the main thing that's going on here.
I know that's one of the options that's available here in Michigan, and I think also maybe in Wisconsin, one of the neighboring tax farms. And so explain how the herd shares work out there. And by the way, loopholes are what business and the general population breathes through to keep from being suffocated by the state. But anyway, yeah, tell us more about herd shares. I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Sure. The herd share is basically you buy a part of a herd. So you buy a share of the herd. So right now we have like 4 producing goats, I believe. And you can sell raw milk here in Oregon, but you can't deliver it. So the way that you get around it, and this you can play some tricks with this, I guess, but the easiest way to get raw milk to people is you have them buy a share of the herd. So they pay in, they buy their share, and then they pay us to take care of the goats, right? So you buy your share of the herd, it lasts forever, right? It's just like a share. I don't exactly know how the contract's set up, but then you keep paying for the care of the animal. So you own, like, I don't know how many goats, but you own part of it. We still own most of the herds. So that way you can't take away our goats. But then through the care of the animal, you also get to have a share of the milk that they produce. So then we can get the milk to you through, I think there may be issues with delivering milk still, and you might have to pay somebody to do it or something, but there are ways to get around that as well. I think that's basically how it works. It's like stocks in a goat farm, but instead of getting paid a dividend, you get milk.
Yeah. So instead of dividend check, you get like a quart every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Or a gallon or so.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting because you talk about the restrictions that you have on delivery and receiving of your product. If you really think about it, if you're one of these small government constitution licking mini statist, you know, typeset, well, magically believing utopians and everything else, you really have to wonder how the economy gets to be so distorted and so infested with government that you can't deliver milk to people without special permits and licenses and restrictions and everything else. I mean, seriously, at what point do you say, you know what, this is enough, it's time to just, you know, reboot the whole system or pull the plug and not plug it back in?
Yeah, right. And it's surprising because this goes for the same with a lot of liberals. You know, there are a lot of foodie liberals who love raw milk and they love the idea of small organic agriculture. But it surprises me that there's so many lefties in this small ag movement. It's like, who do you think is causing the problems? Like, you complain that farms can't make money. Small farms aren't making enough money to stay up. The reason why is government. So why would you advocate for more of it? Why do you want to have a stronger central government to fund all the other farm operations, all the big ag monocultures? So it goes for both sides, right? Both the conservative or the small L, or what is it? The mini status. I love that term. You know, it goes both ways. You know, it's the government is there harming every industry in the world, except maybe lobbying and maybe a few others. But.
Yeah, I'd really like to be a fly on the wall when listening to liberals talk about this whole situation, because I mean, you just brought something up about the liberals having a tendency to be the foodie types and everything else. And I could have you ever had these conversations or been a witness to a conversation where some liberals are talking about the restrictions on, let's say, the raw milk and the delivery? And the things that we've been spending the past couple of minutes talking about, what is their response? What are they, do they like hug each other and say, well, I'm sure glad that the government's keeping us safe? Or are they saying, you know, what the Feinstein? How come we can't get our milk delivered without going through all these hoops? This is Feinsteining bullshumer. Do they say that?
I don't think they do. You know, I have not heard anybody talk about that, honestly. And I'm surprised that I haven't. But no, I can't think of a time where I got to sit and listen or even talk to somebody about raw milk who was of that political persuasion, we can say.
Okay, your homework assignment is to find liberals that are foodies and try and engage them in this topic. I suppose we could do a FOIA request to the NSA and see if they've wiretapped any liberals that are talking about this stuff. They generally take a long time to answer the FOIA requests, and plus, because it's a government agency, it, you know, kind of does a lousy job at reporting. So, go out, engage these people, and just try and get their opinion, and if you have to, kind of lead them along the way to get them to the point of saying, you know what, I really don't think I need government to get in the way of me getting my food products.
I'll have to do that. I think I'll do my best.
That's your homework assignment, and if you want a good grade, then you're going to have this completed by the next time that we're on the show together. When are we on together again? I have to check the schedule here.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just scheduled a bunch of shows. I know I scheduled with you a few times in the next few months. I don't know when I'm on next, but it could be. I'm sure it's next week, but I don't know who I'm on with.
Yeah, I'm holding down the Wednesday night slot for the longest time. Let's see.
Yeah, these tend to be good days for me. But yeah, I'll have to find it. If it's at my homework, I better get on it. I'm planning on going to a farmer's market eventually. I don't know if it'll be soon, but I need to get out there and hustle some yak meat at the farmer's markets, or I'm gonna have my meat go freezer burned.
Hey, when you're at the farmer's markets hustling meat, when you're out there slinging product, do you walk around with your trench coat and you have like some different cuts of meat hanging in your trench coat like the drug dealer from the 70s?
yeah, I have. I can't even. I don't even know how to go with that.
What up, yo? Get your yak meat. You got special product names? Did you ever watch The Wire? They had all those product names for the heroin and the crack and everything. You know, like WMD and Bin Laden and all this other stuff.
I haven't seen The Wire. That's awesome.
You got little product names for your yak meat?
I should come up with some. Right now, I'm just going off standard beef cuts, beef meat cuts.
Okay, so you have like boring names like ribeye and rump roast and all that other stuff then, hey?
Yep.
All right, well, you're going to have to get a little bit more creative and work on that, come up with some new names. And why don't you take a couple minutes while we're at the market to come up with that? More Freedom Beans coming up right after this. Worms!
Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Hazleton, the dear sweet yak burger, and he's about to get grilled to find out if he did his research. Yeah, seriously, you are not going to be called the yak emperor. That is not going to happen.
I've got a couple fiend fans doing it already, man. Paul Gordon, he's on top of it. He's right on my side.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk with him about that. I'll be on his show, Disassociation Nation, this Friday evening, talking about anarcho dating and some other neat stuff. And you know what? One of the main points that I want to get by on that show, and I don't know if I mentioned it before, but when I was on one of my previous appearances there, but the whole thing about anarchy I don't view anarchism as, you know, just saying Feinstein the government. It's a whole lot more than that. It's more of a way of life of the reason that you say Feinstein the government is because of the violence and coercion. So the whole point of it is to lead a peaceful, cooperative life. So anyway, now getting back to crazy stuff that's going on and not being peaceful and cooperative, there was an event at the University of Michigan recently. This is down in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, and I had a couple of friends that went to this event. I guess the speaker's name was Milo Yiannopoulos or something to that effect. But anyway, here's something that was posted from the Spectrum Center, which I guess is the hall or whatever that they're having this at. It says, "It has come to our attention that an event titled, 'Does Feminism Have a Free Speech Problem?' is taking place this evening on our campus." Well, most people who are not feminists will probably say that, yes, it does have a free speech problem. And here's where we prove that. We recognize that the rhetoric of the speakers featured in this event is incredibly harmful to many members of our campus community. Really? Really? Questioning, having a debate, questioning whether feminism has a free speech problem, questioning whether feminism is oppressive and meant to stomp out dissenting opinions, questioning if that's the case is inflammatory, it's harmful to members of your campus community. Really? Seriously? Anyway, the Spectrum Center will be providing a supportive alternative space this evening and holding extended staffed hours until 9 p.m. There will be no program. Our intent is to offer a relaxing, positive space for students who want to gather in community. Really? Mm-hmm. Is this guy, I don't know, is he like every serial killer slasher from the 80s horror movies all rolled into one with his words? Is he going to go in there and he's going to say, "Feminism is oppressive to men," or "Feminism is hateful," and all of a sudden your arm is going to get chopped off by like some invisible axe made of his words or something like that? Really? My God. What in the happy Halloween is going on with the youth of today that they have to be coddled in such a way that they have to go to some special room, get a blanket, maybe a pacifier to suck on, and some cookies and milk, and get tucked in for a nap? I mean, what's up with your generation, Nick?
it's something that kind of disturbs me a lot of the time. I try to practice empathy in a lot of ways, especially with people like this, but it's hard. It's really hard sometimes to be able to even sympathize with these people. I don't get it. I do not get why there's so much sensitivity towards people's opinions. Like, I can get it. You don't like being called names. It can hurt. I don't, you know, I'm pretty tough skinned. I don't mind. I don't think you should really mind when people call you names. You're going to have a better time if you don't take things so personally. But with things like political beliefs, you have to understand that you're trying to make a change in this world, right? If there is something, if you see issues like feminists do, there are issues that they bring up, you have to understand that people disagree with you. You can't just assume that we're all going to agree with you just because you say a couple words, and then as soon as we start arguing, you step back and go cry in the corner. Like, that's ridiculous. You cannot change a system like that. And I mean, some of them are doing it because they got the powers that be on their side, because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings at the university campuses. But I think it's just crazy. You need to just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and really take a hard look at what you believe, and get out there and argue with people, and have your arguments handed back to you, diced up, and take it apart. You know, I was trying to end pretty quickly.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Here's back, Nick. I got a mouthful of chocolate here.
Yeah, no problem. So it's me, Lucander, it's me, Nick Hazelton, with Lucander Fiend. We're here talking about the University of Michigan and the crazy shenanigans that go along with the progressives there on that campus. And just, I don't know when this was, but recently, I guess they had a seminar on on whether feminism has a free speech problem, and the university realized that the rhetoric in that speech or the event going on would be harmful to a lot of the students there on the University of Michigan campus, so they provided a safe room for them to go cry away their feelings and run away from their issues with their inconsistent philosophy.
Man, this chocolate's good. It's so... I wonder if they're serving this chocolate in the safe spaces, because if they were, I might like pretend to be triggered over stuff. But yeah, this is just that was this week. The event may have been last night or the night before, something like that. But anyway, Milo Yiannopoulos, or really long name that starts with a Y, he was speaking at the University of Michigan, and the topic is, of course, does feminism have a free speech problem? And the answer is yes, it does. But anyway, I'm 45, so I graduated high school in 88, and when I graduated high school, rather than just going straight to college, I went off, did a few years in the Army, and then went to college. And although I do remember a lot of leftist activism, I really don't remember anybody being so domesticated as these current house pets. It's how can I put it? Back then, had you used the word broad, somebody might have said, "You know what? It's probably not very respectful to refer to a woman as a broad when you're in public conversation." If you and your buddies are saying it's, you know, it's probably a little bit more acceptable, but it's, you know, really not a proper word. So could you, you know, like not say that? But now it's like, oh my God, he has to be castrated because he called a woman abroad and she's going to be triggered. And what if she winds up killing herself or getting cancer because he called her abroad? And just every bit of nonsense that can come out of their feeble little minds. It's utterly ridiculous. I mean, when did people become so delicate? And am I really that old? Have things changed that much?
Go ahead. Okay. Well, I was talking to an old teacher of mine a while ago about this issue. He was trying to make the case that I should go to college. He was just kind of joking with me, and we arguing back and forth. But one of the things I said, I was like, why would I go to an institution that props up these people and their terrible philosophy? And I thought it was funny because he said, I was like, no, dude, this has been an issue before. I guess they had a whole political correctness thing in the 80s or something. I'm not 90s. Aware of it. I wasn't alive then. Okay.
More well, like so the 90s.
Okay. Well, he said that it's like, well, it's not going to be that big of a problem, dude. They those people grew up. They got their first paycheck and became nice, responsible Republicans after they got the first paycheck. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe we'll see. But I don't know exactly what it is. What causes these people to have this just bizarre outlook on life? Like, why victimize yourself like that? I don't get it, and I don't understand how it's beneficial, and why people jump to that. And I mean, there are a lot of theories as to why it is. Is it bad parenting? Is it bad schooling? What is it? And I just have no idea. But
all of the above.
It's really disappointing. disappointing to see people demean themselves like that. All of the above, yeah, that's probably what it is. But I try to understand where they come from, and I've just never been able to find somebody who's really interested in explaining the roots of their philosophy, you know, whatever their progressive philosophy they have. And I haven't really sat down with too many people to try and get it out of them, but I'd really love to do that. So if you're feeling offended right now and you're still listening to me and Lou make fun of your philosophy, why don't you write us? I don't know how you can really write us, but you can. I'm not going to put my email out on
talk air,
but you can go to my website.
talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Is that really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah,
go yours there and tell us why we're wrong.
Yeah, yours should be yakback@freedomfiends.com.
Oh, I'm going to do
yakback at anyak.com. Yeah,
I'm going to set up an email for that.
Yeah, so the way that we get fiend back is on talkback@freedomfiends.com, and I don't read it. It goes to Michael, and maybe he reads it once a year, something like that. He clears out the email account. But anyway, so, yeah. Strangely enough, and this really reminds me of probably elementary school behavior would be the best way of describing it, where because kids are at that age to where everything hurts their feelings, and they get, you know, really sensitive, get called a name for the first time. They don't know how to handle it. And, you know, they just, you know, start crying like little children. And it's like they never grew out of it. And when you start looking at a lot of these leftist philosophies, and I'm going to be generous calling it philosophy, but if you look at just the different cultural Marxism or Marxism in general, you ever notice that Marxists always refer to work as exploitation?
Oh yeah,
and what they commonly talk about is there's not enough time for leisure, and some will actually use the word play. But they say, well, you know, there's not enough leisure time available because so much time is dedicated to working, and some will say, yeah, there's not enough time to play. And that's really not leaving childhood. It's kind of like failure to launch writ large.
Yeah, sure. That's interesting. And that's something I do see in a lot of young people, is they don't want to do a whole lot of work. You know, they complain about their homework, and I'll complain about homework because it's stupid, right? But there's just a few kids that I know, and I'd like to include myself in that, that really do value hard manual labor. And I see those people having a better outlook on life than these others. Like my buddy Levi, like I love to point him out. This is a hardworking kid. He's a good old boy. He has his opinions, and he's very conservative to a pretty good degree. But when you look at his hard work and you look at what he does, man, this is somebody who deserves a lot of respect. And I don't get that from these other kids who complain about these stupid social justice warrior issues, and that's all they do. And I just don't see how I can respect somebody who claims they can't get a job because of whatever. When I look at this kid, he's like, this kid works hard, and he can get a job. I work hard, and that's why I can get a job. The only reason why you can't get a job is because you're not trying to get the right job. You're trying to get some cushy office job that requires a lot of experience and some education. But you don't have that, so you better get out there and start raking lawns to make a little bit of money. So I don't know. I don't respect these people very much.
Yeah, I don't really blame you. Yeah, they're absolute sissies. Now, how old is your buddy Levi?
He turned 18 last year.
Okay. Well, it sounds like maybe we should have him on the show sometime. Or have him on your show.
I should do that. I don't know if he'd really want to. He makes fun of me because he doesn't think I do enough work. He might be right, but I just love him. I really respect him.
I definitely want to hear him on your show.
Yeah, I'll talk to him. I'll talk to him and see if he'd love to do it.
Yeah, Levi tearing up the dear sweet yak burger. He'll pepper you and grill you. So, but I, yeah, it's really nonsense. And I think this is where a lot of the burn victims really illustrate their idiocy, because they're expecting this free health care, this free education, and it's like they expect steak dinners to fall from the sky and land on their plates or something like that. it's like they think that you go out in the backyard and you pick education off of a tree. Now, granted, you go out and pick a degree off of a tree, it's going to be expensive, but I mean, it's really just magical utopian nonsensical thinking, the way people look at this stuff. I really have no idea. It's kindergarten economics, and then it's also kindergarten behavior, I guess would be a way of putting it. So, yeah, basically they never left elementary school. They never made it to middle school. Physically they did, but mentally they did not.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, anyway, going back to the original article where it says, you know, reach out to the Counseling and Psychological Services, CAPS, for further resources. So, I clicked on the link to that, go to that the CAPS page, and of course it's got the typical stuff: meet our staff, request a CAPS workshop, visit the wellness zone. But anyway, here's a description. Counseling and Psychological Services is committed to creating an environment based on our values of multicultural, multidisciplinary, and multi-theoretical practices that allow our diverse student body to access care, receive high-quality services, and take positive pathways to mental health. We also strive to find creative ways of reaching out to students at the University of Michigan community to nurture and develop a proactive, renewed sense of engagement throughout the campus. What in the happy Halloween does that all mean? I really see that as a bunch of words just thrown together. But anyway, topics that they have on here: depression on college campuses, conference, interpersonal relationships, and student mental health. Okay, I can see where that would be an issue. There was a girl that I went to junior high and high school with, pretty good student all through both of those schools. And I think it was like the first or second year of college, she wound up committing suicide. She hung herself in the shower of the dorm because she felt that she was under great pressure to get, you know, maintain her straight A's as she got all through junior high school and middle school. So, and it is definitely an issue, but sometimes I think there's some other major underlying issues there that promote that sort of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, mental health student groups, CAPS embedded model, a special focus on sexualized violence, and probably that's all sexualized violence is from men. Because, you know, men are pigs and all that other stuff. So, all right, we'll be back after this trip to the market. I need more chocolate.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Have their safe space they can run to, and we've done enough. So I kind of want to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center's classifications of some of these anti-government
people. Excuse me, the Soviet Policy Lie Center.
There you go.
You may continue.
So I thought it was interesting that they just kind of looking at the map of how many states have these things, and I thought the most interesting thing was that Pennsylvania and California have the most of these so-called patriot anti-government organizations. They include the Constitution Party in there, which I think is pretty funny. I think that the Constitution Party is kind of ridiculous. It's not a fantastic political party, and that's why it doesn't get any votes, but I suppose the Republicans and Democrats aren't great either. But anyway, I just thought that if you take the Mississippi and Georgia, you take the total amount of groups they have, and it doesn't even add up to how many California or Pennsylvania have. And I thought, well, really? It's not these Southerners. So who are these people that are starting these organizations? And why in these? I don't know how liberal Pennsylvania is, but California is terrible. And I wonder why there's more movements in California than in Georgia. And do you have any idea, Lou?
Pennsylvania is normally referred to as a purple state. As far as voting goes, it's literally a swing state. It could go either way. And Ohio, too. Strangely enough, Ohio has 52 groups. Texas has 54, so one less than California. Alaska has 11. So that means, like, everybody that lives in Alaska is part of one of these groups. But
that's right.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was taking a look at who the different groups are, and in each state that has a branch of the Constitution Party, so for example, Constitution Party of Alabama, the Constitution Party is far from anti-government. Have you ever met any of these people? Have you ever interacted with them?
I don't know if I have, but I believe I actually watched a Constitution Party guy. He joined a debate. He's running for, it might have been governor of Oregon. I think it is governor. Yeah, I just watched a debate of a bunch of Republicans. I think one guy was a libertarian, and then the other guy was a Constitution Party. And he was interesting because the things he brought up there, nobody else brought anything up to the stage, but he brought up his Bible and his Constitution of Oregon. This guy is great, and he was pretty funny. But I haven't really interacted with them. I read their platform sometimes just to remind myself how kind of weird they are.
Yeah, they are not anti-government by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, they are very pro-government. They are more pro-government than probably the most lefty liberal or the most righty conservative. So they're more pro-government than either end of the socialism spectrum, meaning left and right. And it's they literally want the government to follow the Constitution, which means that they want the government to lay around and collect taxes. They want the government to blow up the national debt. They want the government to do what's necessary and proper to create the Leviathan state. They want the government to suspend the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus in times of rebellion or foreign invasion. So, and yeah, they want government, and they want the Constitution to be inflicted upon everybody, good and hard. So they're far from being anti-government. Strangely enough, I don't see the Libertarian Party on there, but they probably don't have enough members.
It's probably true.
Yeah. So, real interesting. Now, I was a little bit bummed out. I did a little search on their website to see if they had the Freedom Fiends on there. So maybe my search will be considered a nomination for the Freedom Fiends, because until you get listed by the Soviet Policy Lie Center, you're nobody.
Which state would we pop up in? Wyoming?
Possibly. Okay. So, anyway, Freedom Fiends second hour coming up after this trip to the market and news break. Worms.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. BIPCOT.org. And I'm back here with Lusander Fiend. This is Nick Hazelton, and he told me I can't say that I'm the dear sweet yak emperor, but
you could say it, it's just nobody's gonna take you seriously. I'm gonna make fun of you. You're the dear sweet yak burger. So go ahead, continue. Engage in your delusions.
I don't know when that whole thing started. Oh, it was because it was a couple weeks, and I mean, a month ago when I brought that up on an email. You wanted me to lead the show, and I insisted on being called that. But I decided to bring it up earlier today. I found I thought I just had to, because you're a chef, Lou, right? I don't know if you have I don't know if you went to culinary school, but that's what you did in the Army, and that's what you're known for around these parts, is being an excellent chef.
I cooked in the Army. I've cooked in a number of restaurants, done catering, things like that, but I'm not technically a chef.
Okay, but I just had to bring that up at least once, that you're my loyal chef. Now I'm going to be afraid to eat anything that you cook. You're probably going to poison me.
Yeah. Well, just remember, the chef will pepper you and grill you, because you are the dear sweet yak burger. So anyway, yeah, back to the extremism. And interesting note, GCN, Genesis Communication Network, our parent network, is on this list of extremist hate groups from the Soviet Policy Lie Center. I thought that was really interesting. I've been out to the GCN studios. I've met the guys, met the studio dog, and yeah, really not so hateful. But anyway, on the website, on the article, anti-government groups in the United States, the Intelligence Project identified 998 active extreme anti-government groups in 2015, most of which are actually really pro-government, because it's like the Constitution Party, which is extremely pro-government. But anyway, it says the anti-government movement has experienced a resurgence, growing quickly since 2008 when President Obama was elected to office. Factors fueling the anti-government movement in recent years include changing demographics driven by immigration, the struggling economy, and the election of the first African-American president. Well, there is no struggling economy because, according to Obama, everything's in recovery now, so nothing to worry about. But what's really interesting is if you look at the associated extremist profiles that they have Mike Vanderbo, who is I guess kind of a friend of the show. I believe Michael may know him or has had correspondence with him. Matter of fact, I think he may have even appeared on the show one time. Is either him or his colleague.
I think it was Mike. I remember that episode. It was a while back, wasn't it? Back, I know there were two people on. I feel like it was either you and Michael or Nima and Michael.
Nima and Michael. Yeah, okay. And that was like old school. Larry Klayman, I believe he's with Judicial Watch. Tom DeWeese, I have no idea who he is. Oh, and WorldNet Daily. Oh, yeah, they are so anti-government. Really? Come on. Get a grip. These are not anti-government groups. These are anti-this government. But anyway, so you were on with Daryl W. Perry today, and you were talking about, what was it, reformism, you called it? Give us a little explanation of that and what reformism is and what you were talking about doing.
Sure. So I actually talked to Daryl a couple weeks ago, but I released the episode today. You can find it at an-yak.com. That's an-yak.com. It's the latest episode, episode 73. But I talked to Daryl W. Perry about a few number of things, but I wanted to talk about his presidential campaign because I think it's interesting that somebody who's calls themselves a voluntarist or a libertarian is going to run for office and try and take a position that, of course, no libertarian, consistent libertarian or consistent voluntarist would advocate anybody to be in that position of power. And I go back and forth on this thing with voting. For a long time, I was totally I didn't really care, but I was going to vote in even federal elections. But since I've dropped off from I'm okay with you voting defensively in local politics and maybe even state politics, but I don't think that your vote really matters, so I don't see that big of a deal in doing it. And maybe Lou will disagree with me, and that's fine. He can bring it up. But I thought it was interesting that Daryl wanted to run for president, and he explained his reasoning. He's worked with the Libertarian Party for a while, and he decided that he was a while ago that he was going to run in 2016, because before then he didn't reach the age requirement, right? You have to be like 35 to run for president. So he said, well, I won't do it in 2012, but I'll do it in 2016. So he's doing it this time. And I talked to him about it, and he said the reason why is he doesn't think that anybody is really principled who's running, right? We have Austin Peterson, when we have Gary Johnson, and a number of other people who I don't think are very true libertarians. No offense to them, or maybe offense to them, but I don't see them as very consistent. And I thought that his point was that I want to get up there and I want to ask them certain questions, like Gary Johnson. Some people say that Gary Johnson actually, what do you call it when you let prisoners go? I'm just blanking on the word. No, clemency? Like Obama does it with the turkeys.
Pardons.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So some people say that Gary Johnson pardoned a bunch of non-violent drug offenders in New Mexico while he was governor. And there aren't very many records of this. And so he thought it was interesting that nobody really talks about this. Is this something that Gary Johnson did or not? And there are a few other things like that he wanted to bring up to him. And of course, he has issues with Austin Peterson as well, rightly so. So that was kind of his point, is he didn't think there was anybody principled, and he wanted to be up there showing people that he could be principled. So, okay.
Yeah, I can't prove this, but I have heard that Austin Peterson's campaign is being sponsored by Summer's Eve and Massengill.
I don't know what that is.
Google it at the next break.
All right.
But anyway, well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate Daryl on his weight loss. I met him at Porkfest a couple years ago, and he was a bit on the chunky side. And I've seen pictures of him, and when I get to Porkfest this year, he might have to like say, "Hey, Lou, it's me, Daryl," because I don't think I'm gonna recognize him. And he's really slimmed down quite a bit. So congratulations on that. Now, you mentioned how would an anarchist run for office and accept that position if elected? Well, he's running under the Libertarian Party, which means that he doesn't have to worry about being elected. There's like zero chance in Happy Halloween that's going to happen. If you look at the hatred for the establishment of the two or the 1.1 main parties that are out there, you would figure that each election you get closer to seeing libertarians actually win office. And I don't know that a Libertarian Party candidate has ever won a partisan race. Partisan race meaning stuff like the local school board is not partisan. It's not listed by political party. It's people that are running for the school board. Mm-hmm. So, it's... particularly down in Florida, this last election cycle, you had the guy, I believe his name is Adrian Wiley, and unlike most of the LP candidates, he's not a complete lunatic, or at least he doesn't show his complete lunacy, because I don't believe that he started talking about chemtrails in any debates or anything like that. I don't think you jumped on his desk and screamed 9/11 was an inside job, and even though government can't unlock a stupid iPhone. But you would figure that with the two candidates that they had going down there, it was Charlie Crist and I can't remember who the other one was, but and you would figure that Florida would be ripe for a libertarian victory, or at least a libertarian showing, and he didn't even get 5%. I think he got like maybe 3%, something like that. And this isn't one of the fringy window lickers that normally runs on the LP ticket. So, mm-hmm. When you factor in that he's kind of mainstreamish, or he bays, whatever you want to call it, and look at the dissatisfaction with the main parties, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't have done better. So either the elections are fixed, or just LP has that much funk on it that they're never going to get elected. So. I've heard the argument that running under the Libertarian Party is for educational purposes. Have you ever been to an LP meeting?
Yeah, actually. I have. LPO. Okay,
how many people were there?
7. I don't know. I don't remember. It was less than 20.
Okay. Yeah, I've been to LP meetings before, and there's like Dungeons and Dragons clubs have more people show up. And matter of fact, I think they're a little bit cooler than the people who go to the LP meetings. So I'm using the LP as a platform to get the word out. I really don't know how good that is, because most people just disregard the LP as a bunch of flakes. So, yeah, I really don't know what he's going to accomplish from that. But my whole objection to this anarchist getting involved in politics and this whole voting nonsense and running for office. I believe Jim brought this up the other night, because there were so-called anarchists that were complaining about the anarchists not supporting Rand Paul, and that's why he had to drop out. All right, if Rand Paul is if you're an anarchist, you're opposed to the state. If Rand Paul is the solution, if Rand Paul can make the state better, if he can make it more tolerable, then the state isn't really the problem. If he is your solution, the state itself is not the problem, and every complaint and everything that every anarchist has ever pointed out about the evil of the state was a lie. So, which is it? Is the state the wrong thing, or is Rand Paul the solution? Because it can't be both.
Worms.
More Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. Don't forget to Google that.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
me out and start talking.
This Freedom Fiends, we're back. It's me, Nick Hazelton, and Lucander Fiend.
Meow.
We're talking about whether anarchists should vote. And we're talking about Rand Paul. And that's one of my things I really don't get. Like, I can understand Ron Paul to a degree. Ron Paul was super exciting. The guy seemed really principled, and everybody loves him.
My all-time favorite government thug.
Exactly. But Rand Paul is not Ron Paul by any means. And Rand Paul, he could have been somebody like Ron Paul. He could have been pushing the same message. But instead, he let all the Ron Paul, inconsistent voters who liked Ron Paul, the young people, he let them move off to Bernie Sanders. Because Bernie Sanders is saying exciting stuff to young people. Like Ron Paul was in 2008 and 2012, which is really disappointing. And I don't think that he's very principled at all.
Yeah, for any Ron Paul supporter that went over to Bernie Sanders, you obviously did not listen to a single thing that Ron said. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Bernie's anti-war rhetoric, okay, is nothing but rhetoric. Yeah, he didn't vote for the wars, but he voted to fund every last one of them. He talks about the Fed and all this other stuff. I'm pretty sure he's the one that that put in some amendments that watered down the audit the Fed, which never passed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, seriously, if you were a Ron Paul supporter and you wound up with Bernie, being a Bernie supporter after that, I have absolutely no idea how that happened. I have no idea what you're thinking, whatsoever. It's just completely, I don't know, you're a crackhead. Please explain it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And the thing that I see most often from people why they justify why they're voting for Bernie, they don't tend to focus on the issues. They tend to focus on him, on what kind of a person Bernie Sanders is. And I think that's just, yeah, I mean, it's a great example of the great man theory popping up, right?
Where everybody loves to worship him.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. They don't say, oh, Bernie Sanders is going to save the economy. He's going to give us free education, and they might say that. But the main thing I see is, when I ask, why are you voting for Bernie Sanders? They say, well, he's not funded by big corporations. He has a sound voting record. I don't think he does. And all this other stuff about him and saying that he cares about the black vote. He cares about black people. He cares about all these minorities, right? They're saying that it's, you know, pointing to him, not the ideas that he's pushing. And I just thought, man, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I saw an article recently, and I didn't go into all the finer details of it, but I guess it's been exposed that Bernie has been benefiting from super PACs and corporate donations and all this other stuff. So, yeah, donate to Bernie, because he's just a few dollars away from getting money out of politics. Yeah, speaking of the cult of personality, there's an article in thehill.com that I just saw, and it says, Idiocracy Writer, I never expected my movie to turn into a documentary. And if you want to talk about a cult of personality, there's no bigger cult of personality going on right now than Trump. And people say, I like him because he's frank, or I like him because he speaks his mind. I've said this before. Yeah, so does my drunk uncle, and they say the same stuff. But when it comes to the movie Idiocracy, Trump really reminds me of President Dwayne Elizondo, Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho.
I don't know who that is.
So, have you seen Idiocracy?
No, I haven't. That's probably why.
Mike, what in the happy hell is the matter with you? God, the youth of today. You have to Google all these different things. Well, anyway, the character is portrayed by Terry Crews. Do you know the storyline of the movie?
No, actually, I don't. I know kind of what it's about, but I don't know exactly the storyline.
My God, how could you not know about Idiocracy? All right, here's the Cliff Notes Theater version. You got this guy played by Luke Wilson, I think his name is, and he's like completely average. He's average in every single way imaginable. He's average intelligence, average height, average weight, average capabilities, average physical capabilities, and just completely average. And he gets put into a state of suspended animation. I think he's supposed to be there for a year or 5 years. I can't remember exactly how long it's supposed to be, but anyway, he's supposed to be supposed to go into suspended animation. Then they take him out. Well, for one reason or another, he winds up being in there for 500 years, and I'll finish the story when we get back. Yeah, squirms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
The Freedom Fiends, this is Nick Hazelton with Lysander Fiend. We're here talking about Idiocracy, the movie that I have not seen, but...
You didn't watch it during the break?
I didn't watch it during the break. But, yeah, what is the movie Idiocracy about, Lou?
Okay, so, as I was saying, is a completely average guy, average in every single way, gets put into a state of suspended animation, and he comes out 500 years later. Now... That sounds like the plot to Buck Rogers in the 25th century. But what it really gets down to is all of the intelligent people are putting reproduction on hold because of careers and things like that. And only stupid people are breeding. So as you have all these stupid people breeding, the gene pool gets thinned out. And it gets to the point where it really needs a shot of chlorine and a filter change. The gene pool is just polluted. It's got leaves in it. It's got all kinds of mold growing on it. And it's really a mess. And you have like certified card-carrying window licking idiots, which are like the general population. So, for example, you go to the doctor and they got this thing that looks like Windows 8, where you point at the part that hurts or the part that doesn't feel good. And they just say really, really stupid stuff. A lot of it I can't even say on the air because of, you know, rules and decency and everything. So anyway, Luke Wilson, being this completely average person from the 20th or 21st century, when he comes out, he is like the smartest man in that time by far. And here's how dumb they are. They're watering the plants. They're watering the crops with energy drink. You know, their energy drink is called Brondo, and the commercial says it has electrolytes. It's what plants crave. And they're literally watering the plants, the crops, with energy drink instead of using water. And when he suggests that they use water instead of energy drink, he says, one of the other guys says, "Water? You mean like from the toilet?" So it's literally that idiotic, and so hence the title Idiocracy. And with the article says, the writer says, you know, the worst thing that I thought that would come out of it would be that people would be wearing Crocs forever. But when you look at Trump acting like President Camacho, who's just a loud and boisterous, you really got to see this movie. Look for it on YouTube, Amazon Prime, whatever. Find a video store and rent it if you have to. Go to Redbox, whatever. Just find a way to do it. Google Play, you know, whatever your medium is of getting movies, you got to see it. All right, that's your other homework assignment. So find a liberal and find out how they feel about the government restricting their delivery of their milk and see Idiocracy.
All right, I will write those down somewhere so I remember.
Yeah, so anyway, there's so many things in there that are coming true. It's really ridiculous. Now, you were talking earlier about your conversation with Daryl, and you talked about defensive voting. Make your case for defensive voting.
Okay, so the one that comes into mind, this is a real situation that I haven't really faced because I don't pay taxes yet, but my parents did. So the local school board wanted to raise a tax levy and raise the taxes up a little bit. And so my case would be, of course, you should vote for it not to be raised because you don't want to be taxed anymore. That would be my case.
Okay. Now, so what is your argument on that? You should vote against getting your taxes raised. And then what happens?
Well, if enough people agree with you, then the taxes don't get raised that session or whatever it is, that term or whoever, when bills get passed.
All right, and then it comes back like next year?
Yeah, probably, actually.
Okay. But it is subject to the vote of your neighbors who were most likely indoctrinated in government gulags, saying, no, I don't want to spend more on government indoctrination gulags because they're useless. So it's these people that the one consistent lesson that they got through their 12 years plus kindergarten was government is good, government is essential, you need government. You're expecting them to kill the tax increase.
I suppose so. Okay. Yeah.
Liberty is not about voting against being looted. Liberty is about not having to worry about being looted in the first place. It's not about calling your reps. It's not about sending an email, writing a letter in crayon, and sending it to your servant. And incidentally, this whole nonsense that they're public servants. In what are relationship do the servants bark the orders and determine the punishment for disobedience?
Mm-hmm.
That's nonsense. Now, I can see where you're going with. You say, all right, you vote against it, and the reason I asked. And then what is because here in the tax farm of Michigan, last year in May, there was a ballot measure for a significant gas tax increase. And the increase was going to start pretty much immediately, but the application of the funds wasn't going to start until, I don't know, a couple years later. And there was also some question of where the funds were going to go to. And the whole story was about the roads, but the money went towards the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, I believe it is, for more corporate welfare. So the voters got together, and 80% said no to a hike in gas taxes. When can you get 80% of voters to agree on anything? Seriously, I have very few votes are 80% to 20%. It's rare. I mean, it's so rare that I can't even think of any other occasions. 80% said no. Well, after the people had spoken, after their voice was heard, after they had cast their ballot and said no, you know, this isn't a ballot. This is a restraining order against the power of government. Well, the legislation went through the state legislature, and the gas tax was passed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They said, thank you for participating in the opinion poll. Now, your money or your life. So I'm not sure when exactly it's going to start, but essentially the servants said, we have heard you. We see where you stand on this, but go Feinstein yourselves because we want the money. Give it up. So that would be an example of defensive voting. If you're using a ballot in self-defense, you're shooting blanks. Now you may as well use a rubber chicken because they don't care.
Sure, and I think you have a point there. I think you're right there because that's what we see over and over again. As the government will find their own little loopholes to get what they want done, And the fact is that right now they have more power than the average person, and they can. And the only way you can really get personal liberty in your life is to pursue means of direct action. I think that's really the only way. And that's why I don't know if I like the idea of voting. And even when I say local, I'm still not totally convinced, but I'm moving towards being more apathetic, because one of the things that's happened is I used to go to a small school. My dad ran it. People, longtime Fiend fans will probably know this. But in the last, I guess, 4 years, we've had a lot of issues with the school district. The Philomath School District is not like this little tiny school, which in fact actually brings a lot of benefits to their district. We have way better test scores. I didn't say we. The school students have a lot better test scores than they do. But they insist on trying to shut down this school in whatever way they can, it seems. And it's just ridiculous. And the funny thing is one of those school board members lives just down the road from that school. And so you got to say, like, one of my things is, well, local people care more about their community. And so then one day I was driving past this guy's house, and I looked over, and I'm like, that's my local school board guy. Like, he doesn't care about this community as much as the rest of these people. And I was just surprised, and it kind of clicked with me. I was like, oh no, Nick, here we go again. The government's not going to be out there to get you, no matter at what level it is. People who are given power like that like to abuse it. It's because they aren't principled or whatever. I don't know what the reason is, but that's the story of government, no matter where you look at it.
Well, what you have to look at In this particular situation, I don't know how much money he makes being on the school board, because it might be like the city council in the little city that I live in, where I don't know, you get like a $20 stipend per month or something like that. You go to meetings every once in a while. It's almost like a ceremonial position. But the thing is, when you're looking at like particularly the education system, of course, the teachers in the regular schools are going to be opposed to the charter schools, because that's competition for them. Mm-hmm. And you can't expect people to do the right thing when their salary depends upon them doing the wrong thing. So with cops, you can't expect cops to support the Second Amendment, you know, when their salary is based upon arresting people for not having a permit. Mm-hmm. Or for having a high-capacity magazine. And you can't expect this stuff to happen. And if they get fired and they no longer have an income because they stuck with their principles, you know, how are they going to pay their bills? How are they going to get a new job? How are they going to do all these different things? So really, when you think about it, there's an old saying that all politics is local. No, all tyranny is local. People talk about the local cop is your buddy. The local cop is the one that's going to defend you against the feds. Well, how many people have been beaten or shot or shaken down by the FBI at a traffic stop? When was the last time that the DEA came around and made sure that you had a building permit for the privacy fence in your backyard and made sure that it wasn't too tall? When was the last time that the DEA came around and made sure that everything was in compliance? No, all tyranny is local. That's the local cops that are road pirating you. They're shaking you down for revenue. They're going around and making sure that you're not parked too close or too far away from the curb. Making sure that you're that you're not exceeding the time on the parking meter. And it's not the FBI that's going around and hassling people for robbing hooding the parking meters to make sure that people don't get parking tickets. All tyranny is local. The amount of tyranny that the average person deals with out of the feds versus the local government is minuscule.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We're back. It's the Freedom Fiends. It's me, Nick Hazelton, and I'm here with Lusander Fien, and we're talking about reformism versus other pathways to get liberty. But I realized, Lou pointed this out, I did not give a definition of reformism, even though I brought it up. And I don't know if I have a standard definition of reformism. There are probably people who have a better definition. But basically, what reformism is working within the system to try to reform it or to make it better in a way, right? Some libertarians will use this argument that we should try to reform the system in order to make incremental change, in that we'll get the right people in office and then we'll keep getting in the right people in office, and eventually they'll keep stripping away at government and will decrease its power slowly and very, very slowly until we get to a point where we can just abolish government overall. And throughout the last hour, we've kind of shown how that's not a very productive and very effective way of going about things. Using the ballot to change things doesn't really seem to work. Would you agree with that, Lou?
I would agree 100% that it doesn't work, and I am going to pull up a quote here because I want to get it exact. Hopefully, I can find it. It's in this folder here. Nope, wrong one. All right, then I'm just going to wing it. The constant. This is from Lawrence Reed. The constant need for reform is evidence that the state has got it wrong the first 50, 100, 150, 200 times before. So the constant need for reform means that the plan, the original plan, was a failure, and every attempt to modify the plan was also a failure. And as a matter of fact, throwing a little Ludwig von Mises in there, the attempts to modify the plan probably made things even worse, because each new intervention is an attempt to deal with the unintended consequences of the first and following interventions. And let's see now. You want to talk about police reform? You look at the state of policing today. You look at the fact that they are revenue generators, revenue collectors, that they are government thugs. They are the hired muscle for the state. They're going around and they're killing people at traffic stops. They're shooting unarmed people on videotape. And police, as we know them today, have only existed in America since the mid-1800s. So what you see today is a result of over 150-plus years of police reforms. So you're going to do what? Reform it again? That's your big answer? You're gonna change it again? And quite honestly, the reforms are never any real reforms. They don't change the way things are done. You know, they just call it something else. So instead of saying going around and executing criminals, they just call it, you know, the getting tough on crime.
Mm-hmm.
So and all this nonsense of, you know, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to call it something different, and we're going to get a different result. So reformism is doing the same thing that's been done before, with and expecting a different outcome. So, yeah, no. And yeah, this whole idea of incrementalism, I might be a little bit more tempted to believe it if I had actually ever seen anything that looked like incremental reduction in government in my lifetime. And there hasn't been. I just look at the budget debates. What was it, a couple of years ago? Paul Ryan wasn't even the speaker yet, but he was, or matter of fact, he was right before the last presidential election. You know, his proposed cuts to the, what was it? It wasn't actual cuts. It was a promise to maybe sort of cut a little bit off of the proposed increase. So the annual increase wasn't going to be as big as it was supposed to be. But they didn't give any definitive amount of how much the increase was supposed to be and how much would be cut. So for all you know, they could have increased it more than it would have been, and nobody would have known the difference. So I mean, it was a very nondescript promise. It was an empty, meaningless promise, like all other political promises. So how am I supposed to believe that there's going to be an incremental reduction in the state when the only thing that we've seen is massive increases in the size and scope of government? It's a nonsensical argument.
Yeah.
Vacate the state. That's how you reduce it.
Don't give it your support.
Yeah. Don't feed the government. They'll follow you home. You'll never get rid of it. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Lou. Thanks for coming on, Nick. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.